In this podcast, I will be having conversations about where our experience of life comes from. My goal is to support GPs in the overwhelming job that they do. The good news is that you can hang up your superhero cape and let go of needing to be everything to everyone. You're listening to a spin-off series called The Clinical Director's Cut, where I chat with inspiring PCN clinical directors about where their inspiration came from and how they're making a positive difference to their network and to their population. Today, I'm in conversation with Dr. Jenny Darqua, a GP in Shoreditch in Northeast London and the clinical director of Shoreditch Park and City PCN. Okay, so hi Jenny, thank you so much for agreeing to speak to me for this podcast today. Really excited to hear more about your journey as a clinical director.
Thank you, Jo. Thank you for inviting me. It's really kind of you to invite me to your podcast so that we can actually, you know, have a conversation about this journey.
Great. And, you know, it sounds like you have had an interesting journey in your career that's brought you to this point where, you know, you're a well-established GP and now you're the clinical director of a primary care network and have been for more than 3 years, isn't it now?
Coming just up to, just over 3 years, I think.
Yeah. What inspired you to take the role on?
I came into kind of general practice from working in hospitals. I'd worked in hospitals for a good number of years and decided to do general practice, and absolutely loved it. You know, my background initially was nursing. So having that kind of patient contact and listening to the patients, not as kind of illnesses or diseases, but rather as people with families and issues and social issues and psychological issues. And so, you know, general practice seemed absolutely perfect for me. And I did that quite happily for a good number of years. And then I was approached by, I think, someone from a confederation who asked me to be a neighbourhoods lead.
Ooh.
For our neighbourhood, as it was then. It was called Neighbourhoods. And I think I was kind of a little bit flattered that they thought I'd even be able to do the role. So I said yes, and I learned quite a bit in that year. So what it was like to sit at a meeting, what it was like to have to think about things across a network rather than think about issues just related to my patients in the practice. And then when the role for clinical director appeared, so there was this introduction of the PCN DES, and it required a clinical director to be appointed for the network. I applied for the role and was interviewed by my colleagues within the network and managed to secure the position, which again was a little bit of a surprise that there wasn't any others, because there were lots and lots of very capable GPs within our network, very capable. And so, you know, yes, for the last few years, I've been clinical director for an Inner London primary care network with 60,000 patients across five practices. And there have been challenges along the way. But if I'm being totally honest, I think I've enjoyed every moment of it. It's absolutely helped me develop and recognize skills that I didn't even know I had by being in the role. So although at times it's been difficult, I think it's been an absolute positive journey for me.
Oh, that is really inspiring to hear, Jenny, actually. Because, I mean, I know that, you know, things have been difficult in PCNs across the country because, you know, it's a structure that has been imposed almost randomly from on high on practices. And you know, people go into general practice because they're generally independent thinkers. They don't go in, you know, to join up with lots of other people and on the whole.
Yeah.
And then someone like yourself who's able to balance that individual view of the patient sitting in front of you, the patients across your practice, and balance that with the needs of a bigger population.
Yeah.
It's quite a skill to do that, I think.
Yeah. I mean, it's certainly a skill that I didn't know I had. You know, I was quite happy sitting in my practice and, you know, given the highest standards of care I could give and making sure that my patients were well cared for and could access care when they needed it. And then this challenge of having to do that across five different practices, that's when the challenge really started, because I think what happens when you're in general practice, you assume that everybody works the same.
Yeah.
But every practice is different. Each of the practices are absolutely different and, you know, have their own way of working to, you know, serve their patients. But not only that, actually some of the patients within those practices are also different.
Yeah.
From, you know, within the network. So, you know, in my network that there are some practices who have mainly younger patients, but I do have a practice that has mainly older patients, and it's caring and making sure that actually any services that I decide or we decide as a network to put in place is equitable across the network and serving the needs of everybody. So, I mean, I had no idea of any of those issues sitting in my practice. It was only when I became a clinical director that it became much more apparent that actually all of us work differently within our practices to do the same thing. I think in my network in particular, I think there were some practices who were absolutely determined to maintain their autonomy.
Yeah.
You know, within a climate where the PCNDES says work at economies of scale, do things to kind of make sure that you're working as a network. I had lots of practices that didn't want to do that. And I've somehow had to negotiate, how do I create a network of five practices who all want to remain autonomous within that network? And at times actually do not understand the need for a network. So those were my kind of main challenges, being a clinical director within my network, is how do I create a network, with practices who perhaps don't want to be a network.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the end of the story. They don't want to be a network.
So that's been quite a journey for you, hasn't it?
Yeah.
And in my role in the primary care transformation team, obviously I work with you, with my colleagues, Sarah and Adija, and, you know, we've seen and been incredibly impressed by how calm you are, you know, kind of sailing through these very turbulent times with individuals who are really passionate and believe in that what they're doing in terms of their patient populations is the right thing. So they're not doing it to upset anyone or, you know, to be difficult, but because they believe passionately in what they believe in. Mm. And yet you've managed to sail through that and pull people together.
Mm.
And that's really quite an achievement.
Well, thank you for that. I suppose the trick is to kind of, you know, look for that common purpose, you know, and even in all those individuals who have, you know, fixed ideas about how patient care should be going forward, there is a common purpose, and that common purpose will always be your patients. Well, what's best for them? What do they need? How can we make sure that they're getting what they need? And when, once you kind of center it around patients, I think some of the rest falls into place. I mean, I can't, you know, if I have a practice who decides they don't want to be a network and join up and want to remain autonomous, I have to respect that, you know, and some of the being able to kind of create my network through with these practices who want to remain autonomous is that, you know, in some respects, I've allowed them to be autonomous.
Yeah.
And the bits that, you know, that they want to be with, and the bits where actually it makes a huge difference to patients to actually work together at an economy of scale, you know, once they've sampled that experience and their patients have sampled the experience, actually over the time and over years, it's become easier.
Yeah.
You know, initially it was difficult. It was difficult because I think, what I suppose I was able to do is I can have a vision around what it could look like. Wow. And some of the work has been about being able to portray that vision to some who could see the vision. But then if I couldn't portray it, I've had to implement something to show the vision. And then they've had to experience that vision and then reflect on, well, actually, this bit works. And a great example for us is when we first set up the kind of network, one of the visions that I had was actually, wouldn't it be great to have an enhanced access service for women so that they could access their smear appointments in an evening?
Oh, brilliant.
And so we set up clinics across the whole network and each of the practices would hold a clinic. And then we used to have a clinic on a Saturday as well. And that took a lot of setting up because there was a lot of kind of information governance that went with that. There was a lot of discussions about whether we were able to kind of call patients into the clinics, how it actually worked within the kind of EMIS community system. But we did. We managed to get it up and going. And it was really lovely not long ago when I went to kind of a network meeting when one of the GPs who had been absolutely dead set against networks was able to say, see, I think the enhanced access service, smear service that we've been running in the network is an absolute success.
Yay.
And it was like, yes, now we understand. So it makes it easier, but it's about having a vision, I suppose, and knowing where you want to end up and taking people on that journey with you.
Yeah. And you must have had a really strong belief in that vision to be able to implement it the way you did, to the point where even those colleagues who couldn't join you in the vision couldn't help but see what it achieved. That is fantastic, really.
Yeah. And I think, you know, and I suppose that's just one example. I mean, we've had many pilots since then, but I think like the key for me is always putting the patient first.
Yeah.
So if I think of like population health and I think of a group of patients, what are their needs? What do they need? And how can I create something that helps with those needs?
Yeah,
I think it holds you in great stead. I mean, you become convicted because actually you realize that this is their need and this is how it would be better for them.
Yeah.
This is what we need to do to make it better. And so you do become convicted in your kind of vision and your view, you know, and you kind of try and portray that as best as you can. And sometimes people can't see it.
Yeah.
So you have to implement. And if you implement, then actually more people see the benefits. You know, and even if things go wrong, you know, it's just a chance for reframing things and people to get involved. So when they're ready to say, well, that didn't work or that went wrong, you know, then the answer is, okay, how best can you help me to make sure it's right?
Yeah.
You know, and encourage them to be a part of it.
Mm.
And so, yeah, it's, Yeah, it's good. It's good. I've learned a lot about myself in this space. I really have.
That's brilliant. And be able to use instances where things didn't work out quite the way you wanted to as an example of, well, come in and help, tell me what I need to do differently and get that involvement is a way of getting ownership, really, isn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think it's quite difficult to implement things when there isn't ownership. And I think initially at the beginning of being clinical director of this network that didn't really want to be a network, there was a lot of having to implement things just to show that it could work. And then, once those things had worked, actually kind of reframing the whole network and giving them an understanding that you are now this network who is doing this. You need to know that you are the network. The network is not your clinical director. The network is everybody here. And when we did that fantastic session with yourself, Nadija, and Sarah, that was an absolute turning point.
I'm really pleased to hear that. It seemed like that to us at the time, but yeah, it's
Yeah,
good.
no, that was an absolute turning point. I think for the first time, there were, I think, GPs there that felt invested in the network, and maybe even felt they were given permission to say yes or no to some of the ideas and to come up with ideas. So I think it's been an absolute turning point having that session.
Great. That's really fantastic. And here you are in your kind of second term as clinical director. And
Yes.
it must feel as though, the world is your oyster. What next? What are you going to achieve next?
To be honest, we've recently had to kind of implement the enhanced access
Oh, yeah.
service, and that has taken a great deal of work to get that done. So within our network, what we decided to do, we decided we would do it differently. We decided we would set up clinics using all our ARS roles, all our additional roles to help support with the enhanced access, because I really do believe that patients don't always need to see a GP at the end of an evening, for some of the problems that they're presenting with. And so, in our enhanced access, we have pharmacists, we have nursing associates, we have practice nurses, we have care coordinators, we have dietitians, we've got clinical pharmacists, pharmacy technicians. So, we have a whole host of clinics that are set up, but not only just clinics where people come to a clinic, that we've also managed to establish things like webinars, and we're talking about doing group consultations in the evening.
Oh, brilliant.
For patients to access. So it's still in its infancy. We're still having a few teething problems, mainly because of the kind of the systems and communicating and setting that all up. But for patients, they are enjoying being able to access services outside of working hours, and not always, and not being, and being able to see other personnel, not just the GP. So we're in the process of trying to evaluate how it's working and getting kind of patient feedback and the service feedback and looking at all the aspects of it. So that's been the biggest challenge in the last, I'd say, since October. We've been working on that.
It sounds like it's going very well.
Yeah, it is actually. It goes really well. It's going really well. All our additional roles are enjoying, being part of the enhanced access, because I think it gives them a sense of what it's like in primary care. I think it's important that, if we're going to have like additional roles who come to support us in primary care, that they understand some of the conditions that we work under. And as GPs, we've always done enhanced access. We've always worked in an evening or, in some cases at the weekend. So, I think it's important that they understand it's not a 9-to-5 job. It's never been a 9-to-5 job for us. So, and they do enjoy it because we meet with them once a month and, you know, we have kind of meetings and discussions about what's happening within the network.
So they're very engaged then, your individuals in the additional roles by the sort of things.
Oh yeah, very much so. So we meet with them once a month. Got the Adama development manager and Sheila, who both support with those meetings. We have discussions around, you know, each of their roles and how it's going, discussions around what's happening in the network, discussions around upcoming events. So sometimes we might hold a health fair or a webinar. I mean, we've recently had a health fair, which was kind of organised by our dietitians. Yeah, and that went really well. So, yeah, they're all really engaged in kind of being part of the network. Each of them will take, you know, do webinars or, you know, keen to do things like group consultations, will come to meetings. Yeah, they really, really invested in the network.
That's brilliant. Yeah. I think so. It's going from strength to strength, really, by the sound of things.
I think so. I think like we're now kind of reaching that, you know, embedding all of the pilots that we've done.
Yeah.
In all our additional roles into the network, and maybe starting to evaluate what the impact has been both for patients and for practices. So we're trying to kind of do some evaluation work around what all the pilots that we've done, all the additional roles, all the work that's gone on within the network, really, and hopefully produce a paper that looks at that.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah, that'd be really good. And and get more evidence for some of the individuals in your network who maybe aren't completely convinced yet.
Yeah, I think we're 3 years down the line now, and I think if you came to one of my meetings now, you'd be really surprised at just how, you know, invested the practice have become within that. And I think some of that may well have been about, you know, their autonomy and not being able to practice in a way that they have always practiced. And I, you know, that was never my vision for being a network. I think practice should remain autonomous if that's what they want to do.
Yeah.
You know, but there are bits that we can do together, which makes it easier and makes us more resilient in primary care.
If
we are working at scale for certain areas, you know, and that's important in the climate that we remain resilient, you know, as primary care.
Yeah. And, you know, it doesn't serve your patients for a practice to fall over, does it?
No. It can be a disaster when, you know, one of the practices actually closes, or, you know, we had one similar in the network where, you know, their resilience, it wasn't so much the resilience, it was probably more around forward planning. But, you know, one practice is closed. So we were initially, when we started, 6 practices, and we're now 5 practices. So, yeah, but that was due to partners retiring, you know, being retirement age, the whole impact of COVID, the whole, you know, having to work from home. And I think, you know, yeah, it was unfortunate. But
perfect storm, really, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
And it sounds like the rest of you now are in a much more resilient place, and, you know.
Yeah, I think so.
And your autonomy at the same time as supporting each other.
Absolutely, I think so.
What would you say to a GP colleague who was interested in becoming a CD of their network?
I would say go for it. Absolutely go for it. It's the most amazing experience. It's a really nice introduction to kind of leadership, because actually you're still You're still working with practices, you're still working with patients, you know, and if that's the way you feel that you want to be a part of that kind of movement in terms of leadership in primary care, then I would definitely say find someone that you could come and sit with and see, or spend a day with them to, you know, see a day in the life of a clinical director and go for it, because you'd absolutely love, you know, the variety, I think it is. It's the variety of the role.
Yeah.
That's so amazing.
But you're a great advert for it, I have to say, Jenny. You really are. I think potential CDs listening to this conversation will be inspired to follow you.
I hope so. I mean, I'm happy for anyone to contact me if they feel that they wanted to talk through, you know, the decision about being a clinical director, to go through with them any kind of issues that they might think they might face, you know, because, yeah, I've done it for a few years now, so I'm a little bit more confident to kind of, you know, give a little bit of advice. But when we all started, you know, 3 years ago, none of us knew where the role would take us and what it actually entailed. We just kind of jumped in with both feet, not realizing.
Yeah. And thank you for that, because I'm sure that any new aspiring CDs will be delighted to have you to mentor them in any way.
Oh, yeah, anytime. They can just contact me.
Thank you. And I'm guessing that you've had the odd mentor along the way as well.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, obviously there's been, we've kind of have mentoring as a group of CDs. And I have like peer support in that all the CDs within City and Hackney, we all meet together.
Right.
And so that's always, we have a board once a month. So that's always kind of quite supportive. So if there's something that we're not sure about, there's always another CD that you can ask. And then obviously some personal coaching, you know, looking at kind of leadership and mentoring. So we've had some coaching along the way with that. And then obviously the support of yourself, Nadija and Sarah, like I say, you know, was absolutely invaluable, because I'm not that there was anybody who I've met along the way that could have helped me with that aspect of being the CD, trying to bring the network together. So, you know, I have to thank you again for that.
Well, it really is a great pleasure. It's fantastic working with you and the rest of your network.
Yeah.
And I really appreciate you taking the time today to have this conversation. I really am. And I'm sure lots of people will really enjoy listening to it. Thank you so much, Jenny.
No worries. Thank you, Jo. Thank you for inviting me.
It's a pleasure.